One of my biggest tips for people getting into this business, whether you want to get into the capital raise side or just in the business in general, is find expert partners. And I would encourage people to get around people who are smarter than them, knowing what's going on in that particular field they're interested in. Ask questions, find out a little bit about what all these roles are, what you might be good at, where you feel you're most comfortable at, because where you're most comfortable is probably where you get is probably your strongest asset, and then double down on that.
Welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings, the number one show about growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. Now, here's your host, Mark Allen Kenny.
Hey everybody, welcome to How to Buy Giant Apartment Buildings. I'm Mark Allen Kenny. Our guest today is David Thompson. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me. Excited.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. So for those of you who don't know, David is the founder of Thompson Investing, which provides investors opportunities to invest with experienced operators in multifamily, self-storage, and manufactured home parks. As a general partner and sponsor in syndication deals, David has helped provide investor funds to purchase over 4,500 apartment units worth over $400 million. David, I'm super excited to have you on the show today. Could you tell the listeners just a little bit more about your background?
Sure. Thanks, Mark. So I'm in Austin, Texas. Got into syndication about 5 years ago. Started working as a general partner alongside of a very successful multifamily syndication group and got experiences and found a role in, that I liked, which was educating investors and growing an investor base to help fund their deals. And so I got involved that way, and that thing mushroomed over time. I was having so much fun. I left my full-time job and just jumped in. I always was passionate about real estate, and I found that I love talking to people about it, educating people. So I just kept up that momentum. I had a degree in financial planning. I never put that to use. I ended up getting my master's degree and going in the corporate high-tech world for 20 years, but I always liked investing, always passionate about it on the side. So when I got a chance to really get my feet into it full time, I was like, man, I should have started this a lot earlier, you know. But anyway, with that financial planning mindset, Mark, I thought, well, listen, to have all multifamily deals in Dallas, Texas with one operator wasn't going to be a long-lived program for me from my investor standpoint. I wasn't thinking about diversification for them. So I researched other areas of commercial real estate. Found out that not only apartments, but self-storage, mobile home parks were really great recession-resistant markets. I found other operators to partner with, and really at the end of the day, provided my investors with this kind of theme of love syndication, love passive investing. I think it's great for a lot of people. And if you're qualified to participate in these opportunities, well, great. I'm going to have an opportunity for you to, I've already vetted the sponsors. I'm investing in my own deals. I'm locking the properties. I do all this analysis, and I'm turning around to you and saying, listen, you've got a busy lifestyle. Hey, I got apartments in Dallas or Florida, or I've got some self-storage deals to look at. And so I would have pretty good deal flow, and I'm working with long-term partners that I like, that I trust, that are really conservative. And so this is where my business is today. It's an opportunity for people to come, get educated, learn, and once you learn, provide those opportunities for them to participate alongside of me these investments, and then we monitor it for you and keep you updated. That's really the business today.
That's awesome. So when you were first getting started, how did you kind of get that first deal done and get some traction and partner with the right people when you didn't have a track record yet?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, I think one of my biggest tips for people getting into this business, whether you want to get into the capital raise side or just in the business in general, is find expert partners. So my partner at the time was actually my mentor. I was signed up to get some coaching around just general, I wanted to buy an apartment. So tell me about learning about all that kind of stuff, which is, there's a lot of those types of programs out there. I fortunately worked with the right person to get started. And then there was no active working with him type of opportunity here when I started. But after 3 months into it, kind of learning and going through this program, I knew this is kind of what I wanted to do, but I wasn't sure what role. Finding the deal and analyzing the deal, it just seemed overwhelming. And I was actually kind of getting a little discouraged that go out on my own and go find my first deal. And fortunately, I had the wherewithal to just ask him one day, because I heard about this 320-unit apartment in Dallas, Texas. They were getting ready to buy. I'm like, these guys were in their early 30s. I mean, how do they do that? How do they go buy a $30-40 million asset? And so I didn't really have a lot of education in syndication, kind of what that was all about. I was starting to get my feet wet, but I just asked him how I can help. And I would encourage people to get around people who are smarter than them, knowing what's going on in that particular field they're interested in. Ask questions. I was willing to work for free. Now, fortunately, it came with compensation, which I really wasn't expecting. My wife was like, hey, this is great. You know, hey, I'm glad you quit your job now because I see you're passionate about it and you're getting paid. This is going to be a good thing. But really, I just mushroomed from there. So I always would, my tip for folks is, listen, if you don't know something about something, don't be intimidated or scared. But and don't just choose nilly-willy to work with anybody who's got the same kind of idea. You may not have the same complementary skill sets. Like Mark, you may be really good at talking to people and educating people. And if you find another person that likes to do that, well, who's going to go find property? Who likes to do the analysis? Who likes to be the asset manager, work with the property manager, execute the business plan? So I think if you're starting out, you know, if you're going to a multifamily meetup group, so you're interfacing with folks, find out a little bit about what all these roles are, what you might be good at, where you feel you're most comfortable at, because where you're most comfortable is probably where you get is probably your strongest asset, and then double down on that. Really double down on getting better at that and helping the team, or you know, working for someone who's always super experienced. This is even better. And then finding a role to do for no compensation. Like, what can I do just to get around this whole thing and help? And fortunately, I was able to help in a pretty big way. I raised $1 million in that first deal for them, and they said, "Hey, those are investors, or you can cultivate." And 400 plus accredited investors later, I got this huge investor base that keeps coming back, and it's a fabulous business. I love syndication. Love talking about it. That's how I got started.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was going to ask how you even knew that you could, you know, raise money for other operators and partner in that sense, but it sounds like you sought out a mentor, got a pretty good overview of the industry as a whole, kind of started to understand the different positions on a team and really gravitated towards that part of the business, which is awesome. So let's talk about how you decide on your partners. And, you know, I know that you've partnered with Ashcroft and Wildhorn and a lot of these other great companies. How do you go about kind of deciding what partners make sense for you? And then what's kind of the first step as you approach these different groups?
It's a really good question. It's multifaceted. I say the number one thing, which is really not something you can just put your hand on, but you can feel, is first of all, I would love to talk to peers in the business about who are some of the better operators. If I want to be in certain niches, certain geographies, that's also helpful. I gave you an example of Dallas. If I was working with a company or looking at a company, and they're also in Dallas, it would probably be not so excited. Like I'm already exposed to that market. So I'm looking for other operators in different markets, maybe some niches that I've already researched I want to be into, and certainly ask around my peer group and just kind of do some research. I actually have a whole webinar on that, you know, 10 steps on vetting a sponsor. So there's certain things I would want to know about. I learn a lot from going to someone's website, for instance. And there's like two or three screening things I would do. And obviously, if I was interested, then I would want to have a conversation with them and go into their business model and how it might work with us. But before I would ever do the first deal with them, there's a multifaceted process I would go through, kind of like a checklist of vetting a sponsor before I would ever want to kind of marry up to this sponsor, because I'm looking for not a transactional deal. I'm looking for partners I can scale with, people who are experienced enough. Now, you don't have to be 20, 30 deals like I am into it now, but I don't want to partner with you on your first deal. That would be too risky for me and my investor base. But I have had a lot of success reading people, the groups like Wildhorn and Ashcroft. I got involved with like Joe Fairless and Andrew Campbell and some of these guys on their, like Joe's group was their third deal. But one of Joe's key partners had done this for 8 years, working for another multifamily company where he did the asset management and he did all the underwriting. And so don't be intimidated to start with a newer company if that company has partners that have previous experiences. That's important. But I've also got involved with companies even on their second deal and actually sign up in my name on their loan. And you know, that's a pretty trusting thing to do because there's a lot of things riding on that. But after talking to them and really understanding who they are as people and kind of getting some insight from others around them, you can just tell these are winners. These people are winners. They're doing all of the right things. They're taking the business seriously. And it's just a matter of time. And I can pick up on that pretty quickly just by asking the right questions. Oftentimes, it's as simple as going to someone's website. Does it look professional? They're all over the place? Or are they really focused on one market? One particular strategy like value, class B, value add, San Antonio, Texas. That's our market. That's where we're developing those relationships, the property manager, the broker. So you just get good at that over time, but I choose my partners very carefully. But sometimes it's not you know, all quantitative and based on their track record. It's just, you get a good feel for people. Are they taking it seriously? Are they passionate about it like you are? I can get involved with a partner a little earlier on that. And I may not, you know, I may get my feet wet a little bit. Maybe I'll invest in a little bit less money, see how that goes. But you can tell pretty quickly how people are communicating, how the reports are to investors, how they handle the whole process of closing a deal and interactions with how they do things. It's well thought out. Nothing ever goes perfectly on any process, but you know, if something goes wrong, are they quick to understand it? Sympathetic, empathetic, get it done, process correct versus, you know, it's just something that happened and, you know, we're kind of dealing with it, attitude, right? Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Is there a typical investment strategy that you prefer to see when you partner up with people, or do you kind of lean on their expertise and kind of their model as far as, you know, asset class, kind of the level of value add and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for, you mentioned track record, or I think on your last question, you know, definitely looking for that track record. I want to see consistency. You know, you could look at someone's track record and they did 10 deals and one was a grand slam and then all the others underperformed, but their total average return was better on their whole portfolio than they forecasted. That could conceivably happen, you know? So we definitely want consistency, but I'm looking for focus. Overall, I kind of touched on the last question you had, I don't want to see people in 5-7 different markets trying to figure things out. You know, laser lock on one, get good at one market. You may have less volume and deals to look at. It might be a smaller market, but get to know, build those relationships with the property management company, the brokerage. I want to see how you're looking at these markets that you're really focused on them. Because if you get good at one and you do several deals in one and you're successful, then it's okay for me. Like with Ashcroft, I did several deals with them and I kept saying, you know, I love Dallas, Texas, but I'd love to see you in another market. One other market, and it was okay to be in another market, but it was well researched before they decided to go to Florida. And then once they got to Florida, being a big state, pro-business, no state income tax, there was a lot of things going in their favor. And then they found out, you know, hey, we can be in Jacksonville or Atlanta or Tampa. And oh, by the way, those three markets are the top 10 growth markets. Outside of Texas and Florida, man, you're in a sweet spot where a lot of my investors would like to have assets. And so that's great. And so it was a logical over time after they did like 20 deals in Dallas to logically move to their market. They weren't like, let's do a deal in Dallas today. And then maybe next month we'll have something over here and then another here. To me, that just gets just spread out. And you might be dealing with different property management companies and it's just harder to oversee those assets and to really successfully execute, in my opinion.
No, that makes sense. I agree 100%. Have you seen anything change this year with the economy and COVID as far as both investment strategy and then just kind of raising money? Are investors more reluctant to get in these deals or are you not seeing that this year?
I'm seeing two things. Obviously, less deals, less deal volume. We're in a recession, a pandemic-led recession. We have sellers that don't want to sell. You don't want to sell assets in a downturn unless you have to, you know? And then you have, so, you know, apartments are pretty resilient. Things I'm in are pretty resilient. So sellers aren't really that active unless they have to be the seller asset. And buyers are wanting a pandemic discount that they're not getting. They're not getting yet. You know, so there's the bid-ask spread's too wide. And people aren't traveling to go do due diligence. They're nervous about that. So that just slows down the cycle. So we're seeing less deals, okay? On the flip side of that, investors are also more cautious. So that's a good thing. They're also, when we get through it, we have a presidential election to get through. We still have this COVID with us. And so there's some nervousness. Now, our assets are performing well enough, and that's good. But they're seeing that there's some caution in the air on the existing properties that we have, where instead of distributing every month, maybe we're distributing once a quarter after we assess how things are going. Maybe we're delaying distributions because we want to make sure that our occupancies and rent collections are to pace and we're not jeopardizing the asset by not thinking about capital preservation. But those are the two key areas I'm seeing. On the plus side, I feel that, you know, we have low interest rates. We do have low interest rates and that's good. So there's still, and you know, competition is still fierce as ever to get these assets. So, you know, we may be seeing a little bit of more realistic expectations on returns, which is probably healthy in a down market. And, but surprisingly, in some of the markets like I am, you know, cap rates are still compressing. Austin, Texas, for instance. And, you know, I know the market in Austin, Texas, where I live, even we have housing is in shortage. In a lot of parts of the country, housing is in shortage, but there's still a strong demand to live in Texas. And in Austin, companies are, Tesla just announced a big facility down here not too long ago. So there's still a lot of companies moving in from the coast. So in certain markets, they're still seeing a strong demand and appreciation in assets, but also a very competitive market to find deals and to find homes and those kind of things. Yeah, just because of supply.
Yeah, makes sense. Awesome. Well, I wanted to talk about your new program that just launched, Ultimate Capital Raising. Could you talk a little bit about that and kind of how it came to be?
Absolutely. So I've been doing syndication and specifically focused on cap raising for about 5 years. I've learned a lot. We've raised over $150 million in those 5 years and on 30 syndication deals across different niches, sponsors and markets. So I hopefully learned a ton of stuff along the way of do's and don'ts. We've made mistakes and things that we've learned that we've doubled down on. And really, I wanted to put together a program that was self-paced, easy, accessible for people to really learn about, listen, if you want to get into the capital raising business, hey, it's great program, right? I'm going to teach you A to Z, all the ins and outs, be very efficient at what's important, what's not, how to do it right, compliance and all that stuff. But essentially at the end of the day, there's a lot of people looking at, listen, I do want to do capital raising and I want to know how to really have a very successful business, how to meet sponsors, how to vet them, you know, how to do this thing in a legal way, how to set the business up for financially favorable for you, how to attract investors. There's a lot of people like myself who hated sales. I hated talking to people, really. I would never call people. We don't ever do that in the business or teach it that way. It's all about thought leadership and how to get content out there. Like you are doing, Mark, you had a podcast. You're subtly educating people. This is how we teach it. We educate people. I grew a huge business off of just blogging, right? I blog. I get it out there. I still have investors coming today. I was like, how'd you come to me? It's like, I saw your blog. It's in, and I'm looking at that blog. Which blog was it? Oh, it was this one. I'm like, that's one I created like 2 years ago. So cyberspace. I mean, you do a good job. It's out there. So we teach this business in a way that's very natural, comfortable. It's very exciting business. It's very flexible. I've raised capital on vacations in Dubai, Iceland, Australia with my family without interrupting my vacation. It's not taking me a lot of time. I have an email and a laptop. I can do it anywhere. It's very, the compensation is very, it's fantastic. You're in syndication. You're a general partner. We have this fabulous lifestyle. And most importantly, I think, is I'm teaching people and educating investors how to get into these passive deals, learn about things like, oh, I never knew I could invest in an apartment. You know, I only know the stock market, or stock market's risky and volatile. Well, hey, how about this whole other area? So anyway, the program really teaches you how to either have your own capital raising business, participate in syndication, or just be a smarter investor overall. We're going to talk about markets and deals and teams and how to vet sponsors and all that good stuff for your own investing. So I think it's a right program for a lot of people. We're launching it out and very excited about it. So I definitely would love to talk to you about it. I've got a little video that kind of gives you an overview. If there's something that's in there for you, we'd love to have you join us.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great, man. Where can other people go to sign up for the course? Is there a website?
Yeah, so we'll have it. You can come to me at david@thompsoninvesting.com, of course. That's my email. But the website's Thompson Investing. And we'll have a way to capture your information and get you more information on the program.
It's that time of the show for a segment called Best Deal, Worst Deal, where we talk about real estate transactions that you've done in the past so that others can learn from your knowledge and expertise. So David, with that said, what's the best real estate deal that you've done?
Wow. Well, I think the best deal I got involved with was on our third deal in Dallas, Texas. We've since exited that deal. And it's funny because I looked at that property. It was a B-class property in an area of town that I don't even know if it was gentrifying. It was a little bit sketchy, but it was close enough to the arteries and Dallas, Texas was booming. I'm like, and I saw the property. I'm like, I'm not sure if I would be safe there at night. I really was kind of concerned about us getting involved with it. It was a home run. It returned in 3.5 years. It was like a 70-80% return for our investors. We got out of it. We ended up getting like $150 more a door than we projected on it. So that was an interesting experience. And some of the other deals that the apartment looked like, man, I wouldn't mind living here. The setting was so nice. And those deals, we haven't lost any of our deals, but it was that they just haven't performed like we expected. So don't judge a book by its cover, I guess, is the takeaway there.
Sure. That's awesome. How much did you raise for that deal?
That deal was $2 million. $2 million personal raise for that opportunity. And so that was a really, it was very lucrative opportunity for me after the equity and everything in that deal. And when I think about how much time I spent on a deal and the rewards I got, it was, you know, we had to talk about that over a beer someday because it was just, I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it. I was like, this is why I love the business. It's just, it scales very well. I don't have to have a huge office and hundreds of employees working for me. quite the contrary. I work out of my home and, you know, I set schedules as I want to. And I'm like, man, it's a great lifestyle.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what would you say is the worst real estate deal that you've done?
Well, ironically, it was my first deal. And although that was a successful deal, we sold it for a 52% return in 2 years, same group that I was working with. I was hit by a phishing scheme. And what does that mean? Really quick, and I teach this in the course, never to have happen to you. You never want to turn over and provide banking information to your investors via email. Never want to do that. Like, okay, here's the deal. I want to get into it. Send me the banking information so I can fund it. There is no FDIC protection for wires that go wrong into a wrong account. And the wrong account is a bad account, meaning a bad actor set the account up. And my partner had sent me an email with the instructions. And I forwarded that to my 13 investors. That was $1 million on my first deal. Four of those investors actually executed by the next Monday morning. I got a call from one of my investors in the bank, a big national bank, saying that was a fraudulent account that you sent money to. So four of those investors lost, they were exposed to losing $225,000. My partner and I got together quickly and assured the other people who never really knew about the issue happened that everything was fine. We got new instructions for them right away, the right instructions. I had the sponsor send them directly through a portal, secure portal, DocuSign's fine, or you know, their secure portal, which is the way we do it now. But in the old days, in the first deal, a little bit lax. He had a Yahoo account. I had Gmail. We didn't have our company set up. And you know, those things are little things that I teach that are huge. I had to come up with the money. My partner and I worked it out over time. The investors were in the deal. We made them whole. They had a 52% return on the deal in 2 years. Several of those four investors have reinvested with us. So we restored confidence. You always want to restore confidence in that. But it was a very painful, financially disheartening issue. It stuck in my mind. And I put that as part of the teaching program. The do's and don'ts in this business, there's very few of those kind of things that could have come up in your capital raising business. But that one, you know, I want to make sure I always tell people about. I was a little embarrassed to tell people about it initially because I know there's investors listening and like, we don't want to send money to Dave. But that's all correct. It's all learned. But you know, the ideal today is if you're raising capital, always have the sponsor send that type of information to a secure channel, DocuSign, or they usually have their own portal where the PPM document is there. They go there and the instructions are in a secure environment for you to download. And sometimes even when you have that set up, an investor will say, I'm traveling. I can't find the PPM. Will you just send me the information? Or they'll send me an email with the banking information. I'm like, oh. So I'll delete the email right away. And I'll kindly get on the phone with them and say, listen, from a secure standpoint, we don't want you doing that going forward for your own protection. We'll have the operator send this PPM to them. So I still don't send the PPM to them, even though I have a hard copy of it. I don't want to send it to them because I don't know what's going to happen. So phishing schemes are alive and well. I've talked to the FBI about them. Unfortunately, it's rampant, especially in the title industry and property, big checks going back and forth. But that's my tip. That's my disheartening tip, but a good learning lesson will never happen to me again. And I don't want it to happen to anybody else. Whether you're a syndicator, raising capital, or you're an investor, just make sure when you're getting secure information in a secure way, especially around wiring funds, because FDIC protects your bank account. Something government does not protect you in this scenario. Now, if you wired and it was a transposition error because the sponsor made the error, it's probably going to go to an account that doesn't exist, or they can reverse that. But if it's a bad actor that sets up a fictitious account, the money's gone. As soon as they wire, it's gone. So anyway, for you, Mark, or anybody else out there, if you can take away anything from that, it'll save you a lot of pain if you ever have that happen to you.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Well, David, we're getting a little bit short on time here, but I'd love to ask just one final question. On the passive investing side, if someone's interested in investing with you and you know, talking more and learning about your deal flow and what you're up to, what's kind of the first step for a passive investor who's never invested before? How can they get started? What's the first step for someone like that?
Yeah, I always want to, you know, you come to my website and we have a capture page. I want to set up a 30-minute call at least with you. Typically, these go an hour because, you know, I want to really understand who you are. It's a qualification call. You know, are you accredited? Most of our deals are for accredited investors. But if you qualify there, I want to know about your experience in investing, especially with real estate. Someone always usually has an experience, but a lot of times people come to me, they're brand new in syndication. They've read a little bit about it. They've heard from their friend that they're investing and get a lot of referrals from investors. But the most important thing is to educate you. And this is why I like the business. I never want to rush people. I never want to have a deal for you. Hey, look at this right away. I never want to chase you. That's not the way the business gets done. It's a very important business from the standpoint. You may be giving me a $50,000 wire or a $100,000 check. It's important money to you. It's important money to me. It's important money for the sponsor. I want you to be educated in space. Let's talk about apartments. Let's talk about the risks and talk about the rewards. Let's talk about how the experience would be. I would rather have an investor invest in several $50,000 increments over a five-year period and diversify you. For instance, I would want you in apartment self-storage, mobile home parks, if you want to go that direction. I would want you with some different sponsors. I would want you in different markets, just like they talk about diversification is so important in a business. There's no reason for you to say, I like this particular deal and I'm going to put all my money in this deal because it just sounds so good. You know, like I said before, Mark, that the apartment that looks great on picture and the one that didn't look so good, well, they're both going to probably do fine. The one that didn't look so good and in an area of town, and I was like, okay, yeah, it creamed it. So even me after 30 deals, I cannot tell you this deal is going to cream it and this deal is going to kind of get what we expected or maybe a little bit less or, you know, we definitely want to weed out everything and get to the best deals. But once we get there, it's like a sports team. You don't know what's going to happen with your best player on any given day. Over a life of 5 years, we think it's going to work its way out. But it's all about education. And if you're ready, we'll do it. We have enough deal flow that will get you in a deal that you like at some point. But just let's slow the process down. I want to know about you, what your goals are, what your objectives. Understand everything about the opportunity and what that could mean to you. But let's be realistic and let's take our time. There's plenty of opportunities and let's diversify and develop a nice portfolio of cash flow and some appreciation.
Yeah. Awesome. And where can someone go to set up that call with you?
Yeah. So Thompson Investing is the website. It's all one word, thompsoninvesting.com. There'll be a capture page there. Or listen, if that's a little bit too complex or you're having trouble finding my website, it's david@thompsoninvesting.com. So either way.
Awesome. Well, David, thank you for taking the time today. I really appreciate it and enjoy the rest of your day.
Mark, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it. Did a great job. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's Mark Allen Kenny. If you're interested in apartment building investments, schedule a call with me so we can have a chance to chat. My company is focused on growing your family's wealth with apartment building investments. So let's hop on a quick call and talk about your investment goals and see if we're a good fit. Find out more at stellarinvestmentgroup.com.